بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله. We are now going to resume our study of the Hikam, the aphorisms of Imam Ibn Ata'ila Sikandari radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa naf'ana bi'ulumihi fid darain ameen, in this ever so blessed book which serves as a type of constitution for the spiritual path. These blessed qawa'id and principles that we have to learn and constantly come back to and strive over an extended period of time throughout the course of our lives to put into practice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up our hearts and minds to an in-depth understanding that then enables us to put these blessed aphorisms in practice in a way that is pleasing to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have reached the 102nd aphorism, and this is where he says, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, wa nafa'ana bi ulumi fi al-dareen, mata atlaqa lisanaka bil-talab, fa'alam, innahu yuridu an yu'tiyak. So this could translate, when he inspires you to ask, or literally loosens your tongue, know that he wants to give you. So meta, whenever you find this happening, meta, whenever, when, that he does what is called atlaqa. So this Arabic word atlaqa is a word that you would use to free a captive, for instance, atlaqa al-asir. Yani is to let him go, or to release him. Or you would refer to it in terms of your mashia, your livestock. Yani, atlaqa al-mashia sarrahaha, to let them go out. So normally your mashia, that you tie them up so they don't get away, and then you untie the fetter and then let them go about. And so here you also use it in relation to your tongue. It's to that let your tongue go, to be released, or to loosen it. Because it's the same thing that you would refer to as like a knot. You would say like hal al-aqad, has a similar meaning to that loosen a knot. So what the understanding here is, oftentimes we're tongue-tied spiritually. We can move our tongues, but we don't tend to do them. And one of the amazing things is listening to the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make dua. And we begin, of course, with du'as that we learn in the Quran. And then we add to that the du'as of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these are the greatest du'as of all that we can make, from the Quran and from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we add to that as well, learning how to make du'a for the great inheritors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the awliya. And think about how many du'as that we have from the awliya, from the ummah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a blessing. Countless treasure troves of supplications from the arifin, the knowers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a blessing. Just think about the wealth of resources that we have. Were you to compile it in one book, how many volumes would that be? And there are people who have that rooted themselves in the Quran and in the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you find them that making beautiful du'as. And then after all that was mentioned, the best du'as that we can make are the heartfelt du'as in the moment of sincerely turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what it is that we need or what it is that we seek. And here what he's saying is that this is a great blessing. He's going to speak about what that really is. To have someone's tongue be released, to be loosened, so that we can then turn to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in supplication and entreat Him and subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you think about it, one of the Arabic words, and this is the word used here, is talab. Talab is to seek, to ask, to request. And if you think about this meaning of talab, that linguistically, So there's actually an app now in Egypt called Talabat, where it's kind of like, it's not like, it's kind of like, well, Instacart now, you can order from restaurants, but it's kind of like an app that you can that order from. And when you're in a Muslim country and it's all halal, that you can, and it gets there very quickly and the delivery fee is very cheap compared to here, you can get a long list of things. It's called Talabat. But I used to, this meaning crossed my mind. I remember being in restaurants before in the Muslim world. And it's just really amazing to see how people carry themselves. They know the menus so well. And they know how to make talab, to ask for food and condiments and how they want their food cooked and all this type of thing. They're like, it's almost like an art. And you see this when people go to coffee shops. And I want my latte just like this in this heat. And it's almost like you're cool if you know exactly what to ask for. And then someone else comes in, oh, he doesn't know coffee, or she's out of tune because she just said the wrong word. It's actually called this and they called it that. And it's almost like something's wrong with because you don't know how to ask for something. But that's people of dunya. Is that they've mastered the art of ordering, of asking for something in worldly terminology. The awliya have mastered the art of entreating Allah, asking Allah. That's their specialty. They know how to turn to their Lord in dua. This is one of the greatest blessings of all. And I remember meeting one of the Habib, and this particular Habib, one of the righteous said about him, his Fatiha, yani, that's their way of saying his dua, is that ta'arif turuk as-sama, knows the pathways of heaven. This is a way of indicating that his du'as tended to be answered. They know how to, right? And we know that there are pathways of our a'mal saliha. And that we know that the people who didn't believe in Allah and did actions that were displeasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلِهِمْ, is that the heavens and the earth, is that didn't cry for them. In other words, is that where their actions would ascend into heaven, is that if the person was a disbeliever and did wrong deeds, is that there's no, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't cause, even though we're talking about inanimate objects, to weep for that righteous for that person because they weren't righteous. Nor the places where they're on earth. What's understood from here is if someone was righteous, is that the masa'id of their amal, the places where their actions would ascend, the heavens cry for them. The places where they're on earth cry for them. So just think about blessed spaces like right here. We have a prayer hall here. How many times have people prayed here? Who would have thought that when this house was built that Muslims would be here and praying in these blessed places? And then the more prayers that we do here, the more light. The more they remember Allah here, the more light. The more that then when people come in, even with no one tells them anything, their heart tells them something's different here. This is a place of prayer. This is a place of the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. This is a place where you, if you would lift the veil, you would see actions ascending into heaven for the sake of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and hopefully accepted in His presence. And so the meaning here is that the people of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala know how to ask Allah. So for Allah to loosen your tongue with a request or in entreaty is one of the great blessings. For us to that live a life where you and I are constantly making dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And this is not just something that we do from time to time. Dua really is a way of being, because it is a state of heart that then allows you to turn to Him. And think about all the different times that we're taught to make dua. In the last third of the night, after prayers, after the adhan, after the iqama, and so forth and so on. That in the morning and in the evening, at various times during the day, before we go to bed at night, and so forth and so on. And on a daily basis, there's times on a weekly basis, Yom Jumu'ah, and then Hakada, and all these other blessed times, that we know that is good for us to make dua. So he says here, Mata atlaqa lisanaka. So when Allah loosens your tongue, or you could say here, Allah loosen your tongue, one way of saying it, even though the word not is that's used here is not ilhama, when he inspires you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask. Bit talab. So talab is to ask. When he inspires you to ask, or when he loosens your tongue in entreaty, fa'lam, know. Then know what? Annahu yurid, that he wants, and yu'tiyak, he wants to give you. So when you find that your tongue is now loose, it's no longer tied down, and you don't find dua difficult to do, you find dua freely flowing from your tongue, which is a very eloquent way to refer to this. So just imagine that goats that being tied up, and all of a sudden you let them loose in the pasture, and how they go out to pasture and then to eat and so forth. That imagine someone who's a captive and they've been in prison for a long period of time, all of a sudden that they're freed, and the meaning there. So this idea of that freely flowing dua, and this is one of the signs that dua is accepted, is that it freely flows from your tongue, and you might make dua for something that never even crossed your mind to make dua for, and it just flows easily. That, when it happens, is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you in that position, inspired you with those supplications, because he wanted to give you what it is that you are asking for. So, the previous aphorism number 101, is that stated, مَتَ أَوْحَشَكَ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ فَعْلَمْ أَنُّهُ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَفْتَحَ لَكَ بَابَ الْأُنْسِ بِهِ. When Allah estranges you from his creatures, it is because he wants to open the door of intimacy with him. So we also see this word, meta. What is he trying to teach us by saying meta, when or whenever? He wants us to be aware of certain situations so that we can maximize our benefit from every single moment of our life, or at least when there's special times or special states that overcome us. So when we see that Allah Ta'ala has put us in a situation where he estranges us from his creation, people outwardly might think that of this world, oh, something's wrong with me. Why are people acting like this towards me? Why do I feel like this? Why do I feel alienated? Why do I feel isolated? From the spiritual path, we interpret that opposite to the way people do interpret that. People that want people to regard them highly, people that want to be the center of attention, get bothered when that happens. People of Allah see that as a sign that what? It is because he, Ta'ala, wants to open the door of intimacy with him. See how powerful of a principle that is? Imagine if you could take that from someone who knows nothing about the spiritual path and teach them that meaning, that this exists in a spiritual context. All you have to do is believe and then strive, and this door could open for you. Oh, what kind of healing is that going to bring about in that particular individual? So here, likewise, metta is another instance that we want to look for and to be aware of. So how does this relate to the one that preceded? When Allah Ta'ala opens up the door of intimacy with him, and we are longing to be in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that one of the signs of this is that he loosens our tongue. In other words, he enables us and allows us to turn to him and ask him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to request from him. So this meaning of that loosening of the tongue, such that we can then that ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, it relates to our recognition of our absolute need of him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that seeking sufficiency through him, not through created things. So the vast majority of people, one of the two main reasons that people tend not to ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, either they don't believe in Allah, or their iman is very weak. Their faith is weak. So if you don't believe in Allah, your faith is weak, why would you ask Allah? You don't have any faith at all, or we have weak faith to begin with. So why would you ask Allah? Secondly, is if we're in a state of what is called istighna. We think that we have everything that is that we need. We are relying upon our wealth, our health, the people around us, our position, all of these things. So we don't think that we're in need. And if you don't think that you're in need, you're not going to ask. Just as outwardly, that if you're financially well-to-do, you don't tend to ask people for things. The people that tend to ask people for things are people that are in more difficult circumstances. And likewise, spiritually, if you don't feel that you're in need, even though it's an illusion, because we're all in absolute need, you're not going to usually ask. So this relates to these meanings of turning away from relying upon created things, finding sufficiency in created things, to relying upon Allah and finding sufficiency in Him, in being ever aware of our absolute need and impoverishment before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So one of the core meanings here is that ashadaka faqrak, Allah puts you in a state where you realized you're in absolute need. So that then you call upon Him what was called the lisan al-iddirar, with the tongue of absolute need. With the tongue of someone who realized they have nowhere else to turn except to Allah. And so this is one explanation of this meaning. When this transpires internally, that awareness of your absolute need of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is one of the greatest signs that He will give you what it is that you are requesting. Just as there's other signs for other things. One of the great signs that a dua has been accepted is Allah ta'ala inspires you to ask for its acceptance after you perform that particular act. And this is especially the case with dua. If someone is inspired to do this at special times of the day, most importantly, the last part of the night. So, dua is a means, outwardly, for us to receive what has already been determined that it is we're going to receive. So, dua doesn't change the qadr, doesn't change what has been predestined. It is a part of the qadr. It is a part of what has been determined for us. And it's a means outwardly for that thing to happen. And certainly there are things that happen without our prayers. But then there are things that happen that when we pray for them. And this is also one of the great ways to strengthen our iman. Just as we don't let it despair if our prayer is not being answered. Not every prayer is going to be answered in according to the meaning of us getting exactly what it is that we're asking for. But then sometimes there are prayers that we make and then we see the answer right away. So we have to that have adab in all of our different states. And actually, that when our prayers are not answered and things don't happen in the way that we want, because every sincere dua in reality is mustajab, it is answered. But one of three things happens. You either get what it is you're seeking, or a tribulation is warded off from you, or it leads to some good that Allah gives you in the hereafter. And when people come to Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, and they see what it is that they receive from du'as that they made here in this world, they would have wished then, they will have wished that the du'a that they made be postponed until Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Because of the greatness of what they receive in the hereafter. So dua is a means for that us to receive what Allah Ta'ala has preordained for us. There's a beautiful hadith in the Shu'ab al-Iman, al-Iman of Imam al-Bayhaqi that says, "Man u'tiya arba'an lam yuhram arba'a." Whoever is given four things will not be prevented from four things. Man u'tiya du'a lam yuhram al-ijaba. Whoever has been given supplication, i.e. Allah Ta'ala inspires them to supplicate, they will not be prevented from their prayers being answered. لِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ, because Allah Ta'ala says, اِدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لُكُمْ, supplicate me, I will answer your supplication. اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لُكُمْ مُبَاشِرَةً. There's no wow, there's no fa, there's no thumma, right? There's no conjunction whatsoever. Rather, there's a command to make dua, and eventually, immediately, أَسْتَجِبْ لُكُمْ, supplicate me, and I will answer your supplication. مَنْ أُعْتِيَ الشُّكُرْ لَمْ يُحْرِزْ زِيَادَةً. So it goes on to extend this meaning. Whoever is given gratitude, they will not be prevented increase. Because Allah says, لَنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَزِيدَنُّكُمْ. If you are thankful, that I will increase you. مَنْ أُعْتِيَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ لَمْ يُحْرَمْ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. Whoever is given seeking forgiveness won't be prevented from that their sins being forgiven. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ, because Allah Ta'ala says, استغفر ربكم إنه كان غفارا. Seek the forgiveness of your Lord. Indeed, He is all forgiving. ومن أعطي التوبة لم يحرم القبول. Whoever is given the tawbah, is that he won't be prevented from acceptance, because Allah Ta'ala says, هو ليقبل التوبة عن إباده. He is the one who accepts tawbah from His servants. So these four things, if Allah gives them to you, you will not be prevented what comes as a result of them. But the first one relates to dua. Whoever makes dua will not be prevented an answer from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then in a hadith of a Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, من أذن له في الدعاء منكم, whoever has been permitted to make dua, yani that the doors open up for them to make dua, Allah has permitted them to supplicate Him, فقد فتحت له أبواب الرحمة, the doors of mercy have been opened for this individual. وَمَا سُئِلَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا أَحَبْ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الْعَفْوَ مِنَ الْعَفْوِ وَالْعَافِيَةِ, that Allah will not be asked for anything more beloved to Him than pardon and well-being. So this is two of the greatest things we can ask Allah Ta'ala for. Afwa and afia. The two greatest things we can ask Allah Ta'ala for are afwa, pardon, and afia, well-being. And I remember that Marabat al-Hajj regularly would say at the end of sessions of learning, is that he would make dua for tawfiq and afia all the time. To be given enabling grace and well-being. So we ask Allah Ta'ala for afu, for to pardon us, and we ask Him for well-being, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the main things, the amazing things about the generation of blessed people who came before us. They were very conscious because of how they were actively preparing for the meeting with the Lord, but also too their concern for people not wanting to be a burden upon them. How many of you have parents that you might hear them making dua, they never be in need of people, especially as they age. They don't want to be a burden upon people when they age. And they don't want to that be in a position that towards the end of their lives where they are that relying upon people, or that in a position where that they're not able to serve themselves and to take care of themselves. And this is something good to ask for, is that we want to age well. And then when it's time for us to go, that we return to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And it is a double-edged sword sometimes that we can keep people alive longer, but oftentimes is that what goes into that and the places they have to be in order to do that aren't necessarily the best things for them. So we, inshallah, Allah gives us courage to be able to do the right thing as we age, as our parents age, as our loved ones and blessed community members age, to do the right thing. And so that we live nobly and die nobly in a state that is pleasing to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that these are things that we want to ask for. But here the hadith of our Prophet is that when Allah permits someone to make dua, فَقَدْ فُتِحَتْ لَهُ أَبْوَابَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allahu Akbar. Is it, so think about every time that you are making dua, doors of mercy are opening. And this is something, when you think about this, helps you be present with your heart when you're making dua. If you just think, okay, it's just I'm just making another dua. Here I go again. It's the same dua we always recite. Same dua. Well, the khatam of the Quran after the burda. It's the same dua over and over again. Okay. I'm a little bit bored. How many times are we going to make this dua? Right? If that's the way you see it, you might not get much out of it. But if you realize, no, this is a dua that came from the heart of an arif billah, from someone who knows Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And these da'awat are azeema. They're great. And every time that we supplicate, whether we're the one reading the dua or the one we're listening to the dua, we realize dua is being made and Allah permitted us to make that dua. And as we're making that dua, is that the abwab al-rahmah? The doors of mercy are open. Who knows what you receive? And you might one day just receive what you haven't received in all of the other times that you've previously made that dua because of the barakah of that moment, the blessing of that particular moment. So we should remind ourselves of this. And there's different versions of this blessed line of poetry. We've quoted it on multiple occasions. But it says here, teaching us when meanings of supplication come to the heart to ask for particular things, and our hearts are attached to that particular supplication, the very fact that the heart is attached to it is a sign that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to give us it. So the poet said, لَوْ لَمْ تَرِدْ نَيْلَ مَا أَرْجُو وَطْلُبُهُ. Were you not to want to give me what I'm hoping for and asking for, مِنْ فَيْدِي فَضْلِكَ مَا أَلْهَمْتَنِي الطَّلَبَ. There's different versions. But from the outpour of your bounty, you would not have inspired me to ask for it. Or as it's written here before, مِنْ فَيْدِي جُودِكَ. From the outpour of your generosity, مَا أَلْهَمْتَنِي الطَّلَبَ. You would have not taught me to ask you. So when we're taught how to make dua, when we're inspired to make dua, our heart is attached to certain supplications. You weren't planning to ask for anything specific, but the door opens up and you just feel it just flowing easily. That is a time we should ask and turn to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And there are times that tend to, there's times that this tends to happen more so than others. Whenever we gather together in special times in the blessed month of Ramadan at iftar, after Taraweeh, and so forth and so on. And that special times of the week, the last hour on the day of Jum'ah, that surrounding Jum'ah, when we come to Jum'ah, between his two khutbahs, immediately when the prayer is done, that after every single, but there's special times where this is much more likely to happen. And that one of the Salihin said, is that Allah Ta'ala did not that literally open up for that the tongue of the believer to ask for pardon, except that Allah Ta'ala opens up the door for him to be forgiven. And as one of the other righteous said, commenting on this, is that how could Allah Ta'ala not respond to him when Allah Ta'ala loves to hear this servant of his request? Were it not to be that Allah Ta'ala loves for that servant to that ask him, that he would not have granted him dua. And the authors on the comment on this hikmah that they do remind us is that even if our prayers are answered, it might not always happen in the way that we want it to happen. It could be ajal or it could be ajal. It could happen very quickly or it could take a long time. So even if we are granted exactly what we are asking, let's just say that we're sick and we're asking Allah for shifa. It might be that Allah answered your prayer, but it takes a long time for that actually to manifest. We expect it to happen overnight or in a short period of time. That it doesn't work like that. Things don't happen when we want them to happen. We have to have adab in all of our different states. And you have to always remember, I am in the opinion of my servant. And there are some people that we make dua and then we ask, why wasn't my dua answered? And that they want to hasten the answering of the dua. And that's something that we are warned from doing. And that so that dua as it says here, is min jumlatil asbab al-adiyah. It is from among the various types of customary means. كَالْحَلْثِ وَالدَّوَاءِ. Like planting seeds when we're farming. Like taking medicine when we're sick. It's a means for the plants and the fruits or whatever it is that we are planting that to come. It is a means for that whatever it is that we are taking by way of medicine to be for healing and so forth. And this is the same thing of how this is how we also view du'a. And so that if Allah tabarak wa ta'ala loosens our tongue and the door opens up for us to supplicate Him, and that there's something that transpires internally where now we feel it's the time to put our needs to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the greatest thing that we can ask for is what He is seeking from us. The greatest thing that we can ask Him is what He is seeking from us. And so remember in Hikmah number 75, خَيْرُ مَا تَطْلِبُ مِنْهُ مَا هُوَ طَالِبُهُ مِنْكَ. The greatest thing that you can ask from Him is what He is seeking from you. And it is coming in Hikmah number 118, وَأَيْنَ مَا هُوَ طَالِبُهُ مِنْكَ مِمَّا هُوَ مَطْلَبُكَ مِنْهُ. Where is what you are seeking from Him from what He is seeking from you? So, if you think about it, what Allah Ta'ala wants from us as opposed to what we want from Him. And then there's a whole other meaning, where is that the vast majority of people are seeking from Allah. And this is one of the beautiful statements that they say about Abu Yazid al-Bastami, is that the vast majority of people are seeking from Allah, but he was seeking Allah. He was seeking Allah, closeness to Allah, knowledge of Allah, gnosis, Allah's forgiveness, and so forth and so on, proximity to Him, tabarak wa ta'ala. And what a difference. And the vast majority of people, would you say, okay, the door's open right now, make dua. The vast majority of people would ask for worldly things. Which, it's not bad to ask for worldly things, but like, that's what you're asking for? And certainly there are certain worldly things that we ask for that will be a means for affairs of the religion. That's different. If we're going to ask for worldly things, those are the best of worldly things that we ask for. But some people are just so inundated with the love of the world that that's all they know how to ask for. And then there are things that we can ask for that are religious matters that relate to our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the greatest things of all that we can ask for is that knowledge of Him. Whether it be to one thing that you could ask Allah for, just one thing. Hopefully we'd ask Allah for ma'rifah. Oh Allah, we ask you to know you. We want knowledge of you. And so inshallah ta'ala, may Allah ta'ala that inspire us to ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and to give us tawfiq to ask Him what is most pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us to ask Him. May Allah ta'ala loosen our tongues to constantly be in a state of supplication and turning to Him. And may Allah ta'ala open up this door so there will be servants of His that are turning to Him in all of our different states, in times of ease and in times of hardship. So that's the very first thing that we do. Whether that a door of prosperity or a door of difficulty opens up to for us, as in both states, in times of good, in times of hardship, in times of bad, in times of that happiness, is that we always turn to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala loosen our tongues, Ya Rahman Rahim, to constantly ask Him in a way that the elect of the awliya and the salihin do. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.